The Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
Gentlemen, welcome to episode number 32 of the Better on Draft podcast. It is Friday the 13th, and we are drinking just like every Friday here. Did you know there's only one Friday the 13th this year?
No, actually, I didn't.
The more you know. Fun
good
facts.
Job at looking at the calendar.
Did you figure that out just now?
Did you know May has 31 days?
Shut up. The more you know.
Please.
And 31 is 13 backwards.
Oh. Uh-oh. Obviously, that means we are the Illuminati and we're here to take over.
The New World Order.
Illuminati confirmed.
Oh, my name is Ken. And what we're going to do a little bit different here is we're going to introduce our guests first because we're all basically drinking the same beer.
I'm not.
Oh,
Dan's got different.
Some of us are double fisting already.
When I walked in. So.
Yeah, actually, I think you're the only one that's not double fisting, Ken.
I have a Red Bull over here.
That doesn't count.
Okay, fine.
Screw you. It might give you wings, but
so we have two guests from Arbor Brewing. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I am Matt Greff. I am one of the founders of Arbor Brewing Company.
All right.
And I'm Renee Greff, and I'm the other.
Are you two related?
Wonder Twin Powers activate.
Exactly.
And what is it that we are all drinking in these nice Arbor Brewing glasses that we have?
We are drinking our anniversary ale. So the last year was the 20th anniversary of Arbor Brewing Company, our brew pub in downtown Ann Arbor. And so since we opened in 1995, we decided to make a barley wine with an original gravity of 1095. Alcohol content of 9.5 and IBUs of 95.
Nice.
So you really hit on that 95 number.
Yeah. We nailed it.
Driving it home.
Surprised you didn't try to go maybe 95 proof.
Oh, Lord.
Goodness.
We'll get some of that.
So try to think back to 1995. Were any of you born in 1995?
Really?
No.
Yeah. Seven, look on this side of the table.
So seven breweries in Michigan in 1995.
Really?
Yeah.
So seven breweries. I couldn't even tell you
250
other than Bell's.
And counting? A Bell? Yeah.
Well, yeah. You I was going to say, who's the seven? Yeah. So who's the original seven from 95?
Ooh, that's a good question. You had this in one of your slides.
Ooh, a slide. We didn't get a presentation.
is there PowerPoint here?
So Grand Trunk.
Right. Grand Trunk?
Traffic Jam and Snug.
Okay.
I'm
assuming.
Great Baraboo.
Okay. What about
Bells? There was the Chelsea Clock Tower place. What was it called out there?
I don't think that was.
There was Frankenmuth.
Well, I'm trying to think of when Frankenmuth closed and when Frankenmuth opened again.
Several times. There was the tornado.
Well, the tornado is the big one that knocked him out.
Right.
Well, it wasn't I'm trying to think of Big Buck. Was that around?
After Us.
That was after Us. And Kings was in the same year, but After Us.
Yeah. Okay.
It's before or after Arbor Brewing Company's like the way we like to look at the beer industry.
The beer industry. Yeah. Well, it's a small before, except for like if you want to go in like the early years of Detroit brewing. And we're talking EMB and Stroh's and all these other companies. And then I was going to say, was Stroh's around still? Was the brewery still open downtown?
Not when we opened. But when we were working our corporate jobs at Blue Cross Blue Shield downtown, we actually went down to grab a bunch of beers at Stroh's Oktoberfest at the brewery before going to work at 8 in the morning.
That's a good time. Nice. Yeah. It's a very good time.
Sounds like something a few of us would do in here.
I'm a Detroit Roy. I grew up on Stroh's. Still love that beer.
That's definitely
really
my guilty pleasure of Stroh's. It has to be in a bottle. I can't do it in a can.
Agreed.
Look at that.
100% agreed.
about a 40? Does that count?
Yes.
40.
As long as it's a bottle.
I was going to say, we got 8 more weeks before that episode.
That's true.
Oh, goodness.
Episode 40.
We got Eric coming on from Michigan Brewers Guild, Rochester Mills.
Yeah,
and he's
going
to be joining us for episode 40. So.
Oh, Mr. Brigham.
I've already informed him about what we will be drinking for that episode. That's for sure. So
I wish you'd given us a heads up.
Oh, you guys are more than welcome.
Two months out.
We're coming every week, just so you know. Now that we've discovered this.
Now that you discovered that there's four people who all they do is drink every Friday night in front of a microphone. So we got Rob. Rob's here, a host.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. You got a nifty little can in front of you, though. What you got over
there? Yes, I do have Pigeon Hill's Oatmeal Cream Pie.
It actually sounds really good.
Yeah. So I have not
It wasn't lost.
It was not lost. I was really concerned because I was going through the stash in the basement, figuring out what I was going to bring. And I said, all right, I'm going to bring the Pigeon Hill. And I couldn't find it. I was supposed to have two cans. I just bought one at Holiday the other day. And I said, okay, here's the one I bought. Where's the other one? And there's a teenager in the house that may have possibly have drank it. I couldn't find it.
What?
It kind of freaked me out. I was like, I didn't want to have to send a text to the fiance saying, hon, there's a beer missing.
Newsflash, kids drink.
Yeah, I know.
Teenagers drink.
That's why I told him he needs to keep Bud Light in the house.
So, yeah, I need to keep the Bud Light in the house.
Got here
to the studio, found the can was just sitting here in the fridge. So, you know, Army, stand down. Everything's good. I don't have anything to worry about yet.
Nick, what's going on over there?
How's it going, man?
I'm all right. You got a bottle in front of you.
I do.
I
got a Schwartz Melt My Brain.
Now,
I've been trying to drink this for like the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, you didn't have
it
last week, I think.
Nursing it.
Well, what you call it? Two James. Bringing in that gin barrel one. Couldn't really even get to open this.
They were here. We didn't even meet either of the Jameses either.
I know.
So disappointed.
Are there really two James?
I don't know. I think he might know more than we do.
Is there even one?
I have volunteered there 3 times. I've yet to meet a James.
That way. It's not like 3 Knicks where we actually got to meet one of the Knicks.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we met Nicole.
Nicole.
Oh, is she one?
She's one of the Knicks.
Dad or her grandpa.
I think her dad is number 2, and I think Nick is number 3. Like I think there's like Nick Senior, Nick Junior, and Nicole.
I remember they had to cancel one time. It was because of one of the Knicks. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Someone was ill or something.
Yeah, someone was ill. So we got Dan right next to me.
What's
drinking
on,
a Newcastle.
Yeah, 2 hours sleep. I'm doing good. No joke. Like the last 2 or 3 Thursdays, like, you know, I have to go watch a movie at 1 a.m. and then.
Did you go see Civil War?
Yeah, that was last week, though.
How was it?
It was good.
What'd you go see this week?
No, I was just not sleeping this week. Yeah, no, it was a rough night. I don't know why.
It's insomnia. Like insomnia.
I thought maybe you went to go see 50 Shades of Black.
That'd be sweet. I'll go watch that, whatever that is. Is that like a.
I'm trying to think of who actually did it. But it's the comedy version of 50 Shades of Grey, but with an all-black cast.
For that. Yeah,
one of the weigh-ins. You put that under Soul Cinema.
Is that like Soul Planes? Double feature? I'm in.
Double feature.
That should have got an Academy Award.
I agree.
We can call it the Mile High Club if you mix the two movies together, 50 Shades of Black and Soul Plane. So you guys started in 1995. You guys have been going strong ever since. You have now, forgive me, I'm going to ask a lot of questions that may not be, you know, there that might be public knowledge or not, but you guys and the Ypsilanti, the Corner Bar, it's the same
Corner
company.
Brewery, correct.
Corner Brewery.
Yep.
So they're not, are they two separate licenses because it's two separate cities or just?
No, because the MLCC has very strict laws about the 3-tier system and you can't be a retailer and a supplier at the same time. So we had to split ownership between the two. It was a very complicated process.
Something very basic that a lot of other places
can
do.
Exactly, yeah. So technically, I own the Arbor Brewing Company Brew Pub in Ann Arbor, and Renee owns the Corner Brewery in Ypsilanti. Corner Brewery is a microbrewery, and Arbor Brewing Company is a brew pub, and never the twain shall meet as far as the...
And I'm just going to say, I think my place is a little bit cooler than his place. Oh,
I was gonna say, well, come check out the new Arbor Brewing Company.
I've been to the new Arbor Brewing. I have yet to be to the corner bar.
Oh, come out!
You have not.
We'll discuss it a little bit later about all these random breweries that I've been to recently.
Oh Lord, I want to hear about this.
But so 1995. When was the corner brewery open then?
2006.
2006.
We're just coming up on our 10th anniversary in another 2 weeks.
Yep.
So you guys can basically do like 2 10-year anniversaries every decade.
Right, exactly. We did 20 last year, 10 this year, and actually the brew pub's going to turn 21 this year, so we're trying to figure out what kind of like booze fest we can throw for our first baby turning 21.
Jello shots. The of age.
You have some Boone's Farm for everyone.
This isn't Midtown.
I hope we raised our baby better than that. But.
Do either of the bars serve anything else other than Arbor Brewing beer, or is it just Arbor Brewing?
So the brew pub has a full liquor license, so we have a full bar. We serve guest beers. We like to support Michigan breweries, other craft breweries.
Yeah, we were the first place to do like a Michigan craft beer tasting back before even the Michigan Brewers Guild started doing the beer festivals.
Okay.
We had a monthly beer tasting series, and everybody thought it was like crazy that we invited all these other Michigan breweries to come in and pour their beer like at our brew pub. But it just speaks to the whole beer scene in Michigan that we all are in this together, and we all are struggling together, and we're all promoting each other, and it's been fantastic.
So in 1995, how hard was it being only the 7th at the time brewery to get a brewer's license? Did you have any issues back in Ann Arbor? Did you have any issues with the state? Or was it just really simple and easy and not complicated at all?
I'm just going to drink. Anytime we start talking about government regulations and licensing, I just drink and let Renee do the talking.
Okay.
No, it was hard.
How's that for a short
to say?
Well, it's really interesting because we're about to go through another cycle where things are going to become more difficult again for breweries because government agencies are becoming more educated. And so at the very beginning, they were so uneducated that it was very difficult because you had to walk them through, you know, a business that they had no idea what it was or how it worked. And then there was this explosion of breweries, and they were just like trying to keep their heads above water and just saying, okay, well, there's all these other ones, so we're going to approve this one, and it's cool. And now they're starting to go, wait a minute, you know, what's happening with – you know, water effluent and all these other things. So it's been a really crazy evolution of trying to keep government agencies educated about, you know, what we do and...
But not too educated.
Yeah. They're on a need-to-know basis.
And you guys,
yes,
I know you have food at the downtown one. Do you guys have food? Okay, you have food at both, which is always a big thing.
Yeah.
I remember having your guys' food there right when you first opened up the new one, and I was very excited. Because it's always interesting with my job that I do a lot of, you know, driving around, and I get to try different breweries. I get to try different food at different places. So it's always interesting to always try everybody's take on something. So I remember the food being very, very good when I was there. Have you guys seen a lot of acceptance from the U of M crowd, especially since you guys remodeled? Has it sales kind of gone up, or is it kind of just like, we wanted to do it to look better?
Both.
That's it.
Well, I mean, think about it. We've been there since 1995, almost 21 years, and the place has just been beat to hell with the foot traffic over the years. And it's not like we spent a lot of money when we opened in 1995. It was a couple of 20-somethings. We didn't have a lot of money to spend, so we kind of took a beat-up old restaurant and turned it into a beat-up new brew pub and then ran with that for 20 years to see how that was going to work out for us. So we definitely needed to do a facelift and an upgrade. And the new menu and the new look, you know, it's the same old Arbor Brewing Company, you know, super casual, super fun, great beer. But, you know, it feels nicer. And, you know, might not matter to anybody in this room other than Renee, but like the bathrooms are really nice and, you know, a lot of things like that we really had to upgrade. So the response
have, like,
has been
trough,
amazing.
Like other bars.
Hey man, I fought for the trough and I got shot down. Yeah.
No, the only place that I can think of that has a trough is Cashew.
He wants a trough in our house.
Right.
Like he's so about the trough.
Actually, right down the block from the brew pub, the arena. They have a trough, and it's somewhat of a special one because etched into the bottom of the trough is the logo for Ohio State.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, boy.
Love it.
Jesus. So what are some of you guys' like favorite beers? Like, obviously, you love your own beer. It's the best beer ever. But
is there any other beer?
Own, yes. Huh. Yes, there is.
There is?
No.
All right, so
yep, there's Budweiser. I don't know if
American.
You've heard of it. America.
America. No. There's a difference.
Oh, is there it's just
there's
America?
A difference. It is America.
America.
Saugatuck has America.
Oh, right.
We'll talk about that later.
That was a joke, by the way.
Oh yeah, no, I know.
they played everyone and it was pretty funny.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
So, but what do you guys like to drink? Obviously, you were admiring the liquor and the non-liquor cabinet in here.
You're not supposed to say that on air.
You're not supposed to.
I told you that was second hour stuff.
You're not supposed to put liquor in the freezer.
Second hour stuff is liquor. Okay.
Let's say we might be taking a quick break to get
so
a refill.
When I'm not right drinking now, right? Liquor.
Or beer.
Or your beer.
Ex Schlenkerlaw. Rauch beer is one of my favorite. I love.
Bless you. I think you sneezed or something.
Smoky. Ech Schlenkerlaw. You've never had it?
No, I have not.
Oh, all right. My God. All right. We need to fix this.
During the break, I'm going to run out and find a bottle.
Where?
I don't know where he's going to find it.
It is the original smoked beer of Bamberg, Germany, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Being as old as we are, if we're talking about beer, I mean, obviously, when we always laugh about this, that. Brewers and beer makers and people in the beer industry, when we're relaxing, tend not to drink beer because it's blasphemy, but beer tastes like work sometimes. So we drink a lot of wine and gin and whiskey and single malt scotches. But when we're drinking beer, like I said, we're old school. We grew up with Larry Bell. We both went to Kalamazoo College and, you know, we're hand-filling bottles with Larry back in the day in the 80s. So we love Bell's beer. Founders is, I think, one of the best breweries in the country, along with Bell's. And
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse is another one of our favorites. Yeah.
Dark Horse.
Yeah. So as you can see, we're showing our age by picking some of the breweries that have been around for a while. And we're too busy. We don't get around and taste enough of the young whippersnapper stuff. So we're
that seems like a really, really common trend, because I do remember I've done a few hauls and mules for different brewers just because – they don't have a chance to really get out and get, like, you know, to go for the hunt, I guess you could say, especially when these new beers come out. Like, I know John over at Kunin loves Hop Slam and just can't get out to get Hop Slam, especially because he was opening up the one over in Clinton Township. So, like, I had Hop Slam. I'm like, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. Here. Yeah, what's the big deal? Why don't you just come see us? I'll give you
like,
one.
I was like, just talk to me and I'll go find it. But that's definitely one of the things I know. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, as we can use the phrase, whale hunters, the ones that look for the most rarest and, you know, most expensive and best drinking. Yeezus.
Yeah.
Craft beer Yeezus.
For me, when I go shopping and I look for beer, and, you know, you can ask Rob just most recently. I was in Door, Michigan. I walked in and I found two cases and no rules. And I'm like, oh, okay, I will take some and I will bring it home and somebody will want it. And I'll just, you know, I never make a problem. Like, you know, there was a few times where I'd go to Munster and I'd literally be like, oh, hey, I'm going to Munster. Put in your orders. And just sell it for what they get it for. That's the thing, though, is that now when I want a beer, and it's a rarity when I really search for a beer, somebody will always get it for me. So it's building those relationships. And I think that a lot of brewers do that now with the outreach to the community, because there's so much public outreach that you can have via Facebook, via Twitter, Untappd. I mean, there's a lot of – What's a good word? Assholes. A lot of assholes out there.
Good word.
But
really
for,
good word.
For most of them, they're pretty good. Now, have you guys read some pretty mean Untappd reviews of your beer and just kind of like shrugged it off like, whatever?
We tend not to read it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, we've grown relatively thick skin over the 21 years we've been in business, and we do go out when we are putting promotional materials together or when we're doing beer tastings, and we have no choice but to really kind of go out and look at these sites. And it's good to know what's going on out there. And what we look for is what if there's a theme, like if there are like just people hating on you. And you can just dismiss most of it. But yes. If there is a common theme, like I think you just have to be honest and say, is there like can I sift through all of this noise and find something that we can take away that can help us be better? We do that. But for the most part, we're like, suck it. You know,
your beer sucks. It tastes like piss. Oh my God! I can't believe I had that beer. It's like, yeah, I can understand when you see those
reviews. We got a like successful business. Piss off!
Yeah.
Or the ones that tell you how to make it better.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Could have used more hops and more time in the fermenter.
Tastes a little green.
Hey guys, this tastes like 82 IBU and not 80. Yeah. Are you sure you got this right? I think we need to check this out.
Oh, the CB-wise.
So I have a question more personally for the fact that when I consider some of my top beers, one of your beers is in the top, and it's a style that nobody really makes, and that's your alt.
Ah.
And
thank you so much for that.
Your alt, like, that's the only beer I can really get in a market that I can take home, minus the dwarf, but the dwarf was gone for a bit.
Correct.
So it was really – and I guess the Alaskan Amber, but that's fairly new in the area too. So whenever I wanted an alt-style beer, that was really the only thing I could get to. So I really appreciated being able to get it. But what made you make an alt and produce it, like mass produce it, as opposed to just doing it? Because I know you had the 33, which I've never had. And I'm kind of upset that I missed the chance. I tried so hard to get out there, but every time I'd get out, like get ready to go, something would happen for work. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
So the alt was an interesting story because it was when we had first opened the brew pub, and like almost all of our recipes were my 5-gallon homebrew batches that I had scaled up to these 210-gallon or 7-barrel batches. And the alt was the very first batch that I did on that large scale without doing a pilot batch. Mm. And kind of our shtick with Renee and I is I'm the brewer and Renee's the taster and the brains behind everything. And she can say why things are good, why things are bad, put all kinds of descriptors to it. And so I set out to make a classic copper, mildly hopped alt beer. And when the beer started running from the brew kettle or from the mash tun to the brew kettle, it was black. And I was like, oh, my God, what has gone wrong with this beer? This is like a black beer that's supposed to be copper. And the IBUs were really high on it compared to what I was shooting for. And so I run down to the office like in tears, like a little girl in tears going, Renee, I ruined this beer. And she's like, don't worry, you know what? And I'm like, it's really good, but it's not an alt beer. What do we do? And so like, we're going to do this one-off batch and change it. And so Renee started doing her research, as she does, to write the description for it, for the menu and everything else, and discovered that we had stumbled upon, accidentally, on purpose, the perfect Sticka. And Sticka is a German word for secret. And back in the day when beers were taxed based on alcohol content, alt beer breweries would make a secret alt beer that was much darker and much hoppier and a little bit higher alcohol content. And so the alt became like was the quintessential Sticka.
So if you were a regular, you knew to ask for the secret beer. Which,
and then you.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
It is. Kind of is.
Everybody say it.
It's like scuba.
Sticka. Sounds like I'm calling somebody a bad name.
Right.
So is that the beer that we see in the bottles
it
today?
Is. Okay. And so people, I was going to change it and try to make a classic alt beer after that, but our customers loved it so much that we just kept making it, and then we put it out for distribution. And it's, you know, it's been great. We, not to break your heart, but there's a bad and a good side to what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, no.
We've taken it out of distribution. We're not making it for distribution anymore. Don't cry. You look like you're crying. But the good news is it's coming back this fall as a really short run release around Oktoberfest time. We're releasing a bunch of different types of German beers. So I will hand deliver you a six pack.
Because
in
unfortunately,
the fall.
What we've discovered is that beer consumers do not like to buy beers if it's a style they're not familiar with.
And I agree with that.
A strange enough style
You're going to go out and tell somebody, what does alt mean? It means old. So you lost them at alt. And if you say old, then you really lost them.
Because I basically named all three beers you could buy in bottle of that style. In this
you did. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, Sheboygan's got one, too.
Well, and you notice that Alaskan was smart enough to call it an amber and not an alt. Yeah.
But the thing is I like amber. So, like, I was like, oh, hey, an amber ale. I'm like, all right.
Speaking of beer, I'm empty.
I think we all are.
Yeah, Newcastle.
Still going with the Newcastle.
So, looks like we're going to get a quick refill, but we're going to keep on going. I'm really sad about that. So, are you guys going to be remaking 33 at all or no?
We will do that at the brew pub.
Okay.
What was really fun was Danny Boy, who's our director of brewery operations, when he turned 33. That was Alt 22 was his favorite beer.
Oh,
and so
okay.
He wanted to make an Alt 33 that was 50% more of everything, 50% stronger in alcohol, 50% hoppier. Good sound effects with the bottle on the table.
Hear that? Yeah, the room really resonates in here. Wow.
So, yes, we will definitely be doing that again, draft only at the brew pub in Ann Arbor.
Okay. And by draft only, you're going to bring it to the fall festival? Yes.
You know what?
Hint, not
email
just.
Me. No, seriously, email me that. We could totally make that happen just for you.
Or just bring
as far
a little,
as you know.
Bring a little. Sorry, I know. Bring a little holler of it. Here you go, Ken. Thanks for stopping by.
Sounds like I know where we're going.
Well, speaking of which, I went to Drafting Table Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
And they have Prowlers.
Oh.
Which are 16-ounce glass bottles, just like set up like a howler or a growler.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was is that they've got someone to create it and make it for them so that their employees – at first it was just for their employees who have, you know, worked a long day.
Yeah.
And they don't want their shift beer at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
They can take their shift beer home.
Nice.
It seems to be – now it's caught on to something that they're selling to customers.
Well, yeah, they're selling it to the customers now. So you can pretty much take a pint of any beer home in a prowler.
Interesting.
Which is nice because then you don't have to really invest. Even at a howler, you still are investing, you know,
oh,
two
come
pints.
On.
32 ounces.
Seriously? You just said that out loud with a straight face?
What?
You're
what?
Investing in 32 ounces? Oh, how could I ever possibly finish that?
Well, some people barely want to invest in 2 ounces.
Well, that's true, but when you get to a beer that might be a little bit more on the pricey side, like Sellerman's beer that they just did the barrel age for the fire department out there,
yeah,
that was $32 for a crowler.
Yeah,
$32.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it's
so we're coming out with a towler, which is 4 ounces that you can take home.
Oh, right,
in a sealed Dixie cup.
No, I don't know.
It's actually
a beer.
A wet towel that you just wring out into your mouth when you get home.
I was thinking
it works out to approximately 2 hours.
You know those little ketchup things that you get at
Arby's, yes.
But you can roll up the end so you can make it even bigger.
It's really convenient for the consumer, but we lose about 8 ounces every time we fill one of those little packets.
You lose 8 ounces for the 4 ounce.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Like, I mean, far be it from somebody that doesn't like no rules, but I mean, you go to some place like 8 Degrees in Detroit when they had it on tap, and you can get a half growler for it, but you had to spend like $25-26 to get a half growler of something you may or may not have had. And they weren't doing any tastings at all. You could not get just even a 2 ounce pour. So I guess I kind of see that as, you know, 32 ounces is sometimes an investment if you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, and especially if it's someone like me who really, really does not like some specific styles, more specifically IPAs. Like, that's why I remember going – the worst festival I ever went to was a fall beer festival where I tried 10 different IPAs and all that I hated.
I'm sorry.
And it was the fact
that – I
wouldn't
wish that on it.
I wanted
– I love that this is a no-judge zone because all the beer lovers in America are going, what?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, that doesn't bother
my,
us.
My what do you call it? My palate's definitely gotten a little more in tune with barrel-aged beers. Usually I do not follow.
You used to hate those. You used to freak out on those,
Oh, I used to hate barrel-aged beers.
I think over the course of this show, you kind of warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of has been.
But, like, IPAs, I just do not do anything bitter, anything hoppy. Like, I can
You'll notice that we brought you no IPAs today.
Well, you can notice I'm the one that asked for the brune, too.
Exactly.
Like, hey, bring this over. Because we actually had it with the drafting table. We were talking about it on Wednesday when I was saying you guys were coming over because they got a chance to try it with me because I shared the bottle. And it was just, you know, I love the brown ales. Brown ales and alts are really two of my favorite styles. So I usually try to find those first before I go look for a different style of beer. Mm. So basically I try to find a brown before I go find anything else. I'm not going to find an alt anywhere. But IPAs, it really – I just do not like the bitterness, the hoppiness. I'd take something mellow like a Hop Slam where it's really, really mellowed with the honey. But any other IPA, like you're Two Hearted, not really a fan.
Hmm.
Any fruit IPAs, I'm really not
fruit
a fan either.
I don't think fruit belongs in
I'll take that habanero IPA.
Yeah. It's hit or miss in my mind, but I'd probably try to stay away from the fruit IPA.
Well, there's a few. There have been really big misses. Like Odd Sides had a few really big misses with the IPAs.
Who does the drink by this date?
That's Stone.
Stone's released. Then they released like a tangerine IPA by this date or something.
Yeah,
like
that. The most recent was the tangerine one.
Yeah, drink by this date tangerine IPA.
I did find at that place where I found the cases of No Rules and Enjoy by 12/25 2015.
You did mention that. Yeah. Did you buy any?
I did not.
Oh,
well, which one did we do? We tried one previously that was
I think we tried like the 10/30.
Yeah, 10/30.
And we tried it like in the middle of November. We're like, we broke the rules.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Did lights go off and people just
alarm went off?
You?
Yeah, the craft beer police walked in and started beating us.
Started beating us with what?
It just said enjoy
their
by.
Words,
you can
what?
Like not enjoy it after that date if you want to.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, we just didn't enjoy it. We wanted to, but we couldn't.
Right, you're not allowed to.
Not allowed to enjoy this, so you're in trouble.
I really, really want to enjoy this, but I can't.
So we had a quick drop-in, as I'm going to get a test mic from you, but why don't you introduce yourselves to the fans out here in the podcasting world.
Hey, what's going on? It's Dan Riley from Axel Brewing Company.
Well,
hey.
we've already met before.
Yeah.
We ran into each other over at 8 Degrees, but we appreciate you coming on out.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. We've been talking about
you're
you the
late.
Entire time.
babysitter issues and wife with a real job.
The real job.
The real job.
I wish one of us had a real job.
You mean
job.
A job that makes money?
Yeah.
The one that keeps the other one afloat in whatever they do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming that's what the real job means.
So yeah, pretty much.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have one of those.
The one with benefits.
The one with benefits. There you go.
Yeah.
So out of Axel, you guys have been in the news most recently with the DCFC sponsorship being one of the three, I guess you could say, beer and cider sponsors over there.
Yeah.
So you guys, Stroh's and Blake's.
Blake's. Cider Mill, yep.
So did you go to the game on what day was it?
They had their U.S. Open Cup match on Wednesday.
I did not. My first game of the season will be next Friday, the home opener.
That's one day I won't be here.
Oh, okay.
Is that next week?
That is next week, yeah. Friday. They play their first game at Keyworth. That's
so awesome. Wait a minute. Keyworth Stadium?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
In Hamtramck, yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's bringing back.
Do you remember?
I grew up.
We played high school games.
My grandparents,
over there, right?
Yeah. Grandparents are from Hamtramck.
So are,
Keyworth Stadium,
so are mine.
Yeah.
The team has spent $750,000 renovating it, getting it ready, and getting it ready for not only for their use, but for the public school district as well.
That would explain why DCFC has three beer sponsors. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they're actually
so we are the sole beer sponsor of the Ann Arbor Football Club.
Right. And that's who they open up against.
I know. Yeah, so we got a little rivalry going.
What have we done?
I was going to say we should have planned this ahead and maybe got like a bet going on.
Oh, you just wait. Second hour just got a lot more interesting.
The liquor's coming out.
And here's a little good trivia for you. Matt and I actually went to high school together.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice.
We were We were in the late 90s. We graduated from.
Oh, come on. Nobody's going to believe that looking at us.
Yeah, good point.
It's radio.
Hey, who said that?
It is radio. It is radio. I don't know. You look pretty youthful right now.
I'm a millennial.
Matt. Yeah, you look very sharp and youthful. You look like a guy who's been killing it for 25, 30
years. My father founded Arbor Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, how does it feel to be in the middle of all of this?
Hey, I think we're the only side of the table here that graduated from high school in the 90s.
Oh, so. Right. I.
It's right there. Right there.
Us too, or not so much.
All right, at least one of us is in our 20s in this room.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, do you like the way I cheersed him when he said we graduated in the 90s? Yeah. I did not graduate high school in the 90s.
I was going to say, you own that pretty quickly.
Oh, my gosh.
So over at Axel, as you actually just pop a city.
Yeah, because I'm thirsty. It's been a really long day. You guys got a little bit of a head start on me. Yeah.
You should hook me up with one of those.
I got you one. Are you going to have the glass?
Hey,
it's everyone's fans over here. You got any bricks?
Oh, I do. No. I brought a brick, actually.
Are you guys doing that shelf turd special?
Yeah, I brought it because you were coming. I was like, oh, this might be the last one we ever see.
Well, we were talking about Stroh's earlier, and I procured, and we're going to be doing this on one show in the future, some, I believe it's 55-year-old bottles of Stroh's.
I bet insane. That's delicious.
Ooh. Yeah, we're hoping.
If ever there was a beer that you want to lay down, it would be Stroh's.
So we've procured some of those as well as some E&Bs, which I believe are in the same years of the 50s, late 50s, early 60s. From
are you
what we
chug
gather,
it? Like have a chug, like a race.
I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be Brock and I in here. So I assume we're going to be that stupid. So you'll probably be running the boards that night.
Well, the first one you're going to race. Finish it.
So when we were doing the renovation at the brew pub in Ann Arbor, our plumber, we knocked out a wall. And like I said, we redid the bathrooms. Our plumber found a Goble beer bottle from E&B.
Wow.
From I can't remember the year on it, but it's still just sitting in our kitchen right now. We're trying to figure out what to do with this relic.
E&B went out of business in 67.
Okay.
I think it was 1962.
Was it?
So you've got at least 67 and before for your time
frame. Is it full?
No.
Okay, let's crack.
And I wish there was like a note in it, like a time capsule or something, like some guy going, this job blows. I can't believe I'm like doing the plumbing in this bathroom. And like the plumber now would go, this job still blows.
Right.
And leave another note and stick it back in the wall.
He puts an updated bottle.
So like 70 years from now, somebody's going to find an Arbor Brewing Company bottle in the wall with a note in it going, kill me. This job sucks.
Yeah, right.
So what kind of beer is City?
City is an American Pale Ale, which I know in some circles has become a dirty word, but we wanted to...
What?
Nonsense. Yeah.
What circle would that be?
Well, you know.
The CB Water circle?
Yeah. You know, those circles.
The ones you can't talk about, but we can talk about freely.
Right, totally. No, our brewer, you know, it's a real classic Chico yeast and... And we wanted to create, you know, something, you know, quaffable. Obviously, what attracted us to the City Football Club and the Keyword deal was a lot of really crazy rabid supporters knocking down a whole lot of beer.
Yes, that is 100% correct.
Yeah, so this is a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a old school approach and a really modern hop. It's actually one of the ADHA clones. So it's a 484. Out of Yakima Valley, and it's got a little bit of a cedar note. It's about 35 IBUs and about 5.5%. So it's you know, pretty sessionable, and we're excited about it.
Going to be drink a lot, I'd imagine, at Keyworth this year.
Yeah,
so can you drink in the stadium
now? Yes, you can drink at Keyworth Stadium.
I hope so, if they're selling beer there. Like, oh,
well, I mean, Axel and I think prior to it, Milking It were both – sponsors of DCFC, and you couldn't drink at Cass Tech, so you pretty much got everything over at Harry's, and then
or the TV bar, TV lounge, that
TV lounge.
When there was a gate that you could actually walk through around and stop and grab a beer and come back like right at the end of halftime.
We're gonna be in the stadium. We'll probably have two flavors available. We're still deciding what the second one will be. And then Blake's did a cider called Cider Till I Die. It's an English dry that I'll have available.
That's a pretty good play on words.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, we, you know, probably the, you know, obviously the audience and their fan base was a big draw. But we've got this in about 40, 50 retailers already in the city.
Oh, wow.
The last week, and it'll be, you know, heavily distributed around Hamtramck and all the soccer bars in the stadium or in the city. So it's cool.
So where is City's basically new soccer bar, like where everyone's going to be
it's
going?
It's
going to
be the Fowling Warehouse. Yeah. That's going to be
– oh, wow.
Yeah, they usually do the – I'm sure you've – have you seen any of the game – been to the games?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they used to do the march from Harry's to Cass right. Tech.
Yep.
They're going to be doing the march from the Fowling Warehouse to Keyworth.
Okay.
Yeah, so –
that was, I mean,
after the game, I don't know. I'm sure after the game. Back.
Yeah, well, I know there was a lot of different after the game bars over in yes. Detroit because I know like Tommy McGee's was one mm-hmm. in the yeah. rotation.
And they, Mercury Bar was on there. McShane's was like an after party one.
That's a good bar to go
that's
to.
A that's very,
that's
yeah. a very, very good bar to go to. Very nice.
Oh, McShane's, Bobby over there.
Recommend.
You know what else is a good bar?
What is a good bar?
Phoenix Scoreboard.
Oh, you walked us into it.
Head on down to Allen Park. I believe they're on Van Born. You can check it out. They do a lot of TVs over there, so you can pretty much watch any game that you want to. Drink specials. Nearly any single rare bar that gets kegged.
Rare bar.
Rare beer, sorry. will get
rare
kegged.
Bar.
A rare bar, yes.
Did I just walk into a sponsor mention?
You did. Yes, you did.
Was that supposed to be one of those contextually relevant, like, smooth
yeah,
transitions?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm just...
Were you catching yeah. it
I've
a minute later?
I've been a little
later.
Slow. I spent a lot of years in the media business, but I was just trying to pick that up.
So go on down there. They do have growlers to go and howlers, but no prowlers down there.
No prowlers.
No prowlers.
No towelers.
No towelers.
Oh, man.
Really, good food specials, great drink specials. I think I went down there. I had a burger, fries, and a beer for $7. So definitely made out like a bandit out there. Go see Ryan and Nicole down there. But we will be right back with segment two of the Better on Draft Pod.
It's like bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Better
Who
on
did
Draft
that?
Podcast.
What
I
was
don't
that?
Know.
That was Delane, actually. I can tell you the band and that song. It's one of the best bands.
It sounded like we were listening to fight music in Final Fantasy, and then we were just going.
Oh, you're talking
like
about the song. Oh,
the commercial.
Was Xander. They're German.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, absolutely nobody's going to know what's going to be going on because we cut the music during the.
So the 99% of the people that listen won't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but those 1%ers,
that's a vertical, passionate audience right there.
Very,
highly engaged.
Highly engaged, even though most of our listeners listen on Monday.
Mm. Yeah.
Recency is overrated, man. Shelf life.
Shelf life. Speaking of shelf life, how's that brick going for you?
Trying to explode everywhere, and I opened it. I don't know what's going on.
Is it infected?
From milking it production? Whatever happened to those guys?
I don't know.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
The rumor is that they got acquired about a year ago.
Venture capitalist?
No.
Not venture capitalist.
Hedge fund.
You know what? I wish I was a venture capitalist.
Was it Sam Miguel?
It was Sam Miguel.
Ouch.
Yeah, Vulture Venture Capitalist came in, and they're looking at several others. We looked at Lagunitas and Ballast Point, but we wanted something a little more manageable to bite off at first.
Venture. Well, you know, Lagunitas, you know, you had to deal with the whole Heineken thing
and
afterwards.
They got sharp elbows, man.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was a little tricky.
MMA fight? What are you guys doing over there?
Obviously, that's what it feels like. It seems like it's an inside joke between Matt and Dan over here. as they're reminiscing about times yonder.
Old school, West Side Detroit, Six Mile and Evergreen, Precious Blood, St. Mary's Redford.
Way back.
If you would have stopped the first one, it would have sounded really gangster, but then you said St. Mary's, and it's like,
yeah, that would be me, not so gangster.
we have like not disclosed that we went to an all-boys school, but man, it was in Old Redford.
Yeah, you're right. Precious Blood is pretty gangster. St. Mary's, not so much.
St. Mary's doesn't have that same ringing to it.
He went to St. Mary's Redford, be clear. I went to Christ the King, which
gangster. Yeah, that is definitely way more gangster.
No.
So it really
sounds
is.
Like a band.
More than St. Mary's.
Christ the King.
Yeah,
Christ the King.
Like,
it sounds like a band.
Like Faith plus one.
like a boy band.
Christ the King.
It'd be like a Christian boy band.
Speaking of which, we went to a high school that was all boys.
Hey,
So
hey.
Your entire band was a boy band, technically.
it was it, we, they weren't cheerleaders. They were the Spirit Club, okay,
spirit,
or something yeah. like
spirit
that.
Club. Spirit Squad.
All I think of for male cheerleaders is Will Ferrell's character on Saturday Night Live and George W. Lord. Bush.
Oh,
the only two male cheerleaders I know. And then, of course, the people from the movie Bring It On, but I couldn't tell you any of the actors' names.
You know, I think the famous Charlie LaDuff was also a male cheerleader at the University of Michigan.
Oh, my gosh.
I would not be surprised.
It's a true story.
I would not be surprised.
He wasn't officially on the squad. He just showed up and
was cheering in the audience.
It's like a party in Pleasant Ridge. Same general rules.
It's not like the Pistons. Don't the Pistons have an all male cheerleader group?
What?
The spare tires.
There you go.
Oh, come on.
I do remember when I had hair, I had a hairdresser who tried out for Automotion, the first Pistons dance team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did it work out for her?
Oh, I think she danced somewhere else instead.
Was it
Lions?
Somewhere?
For the Lions.
I was going to say, was the place off of 8 Mile? That
no, I think it was like Ford and Schaefer, right around there.
Ford and Schaefer. All right. So
what's down there?
There's an MMA gym there. It's Dearborn.
Couldn't tell you the last time I was out there. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about Axel. How did it get started? What's your history? You know, just give us a little bit more information that, you know, Matt already knows, obviously.
Well, my partners and I acquired what used to be Milking It Productions back in the early part of 15. We launched Axel Brewing Company in October. So you guys are probably familiar. We've had about 8 or 9 different beers in the market, 6 in packages, and we recently just released City, which is the beer we were talking about earlier, and a lager, a Dortmunder-style lager that's available just in limited release right now called Livernoy. And so we're all, you know, strictly production, distribution, but we are building a spot right now at 8.5 in Livernoy. And we are hoping for an opening the beginning of October.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even though I'm not gangster, since I went to St. Mary's, it makes me so happy that you have a beer called Livernoy.
Yeah.
I just have to say, it makes me really, really
happy. It's Livernoy Lager, yes. It was a bit of an homage to the new spot.
Livernoy.
Livernoy. Livernoy. And, it's – in fact, we'll drink it, I think, today. I've got some with me. So,
all right. I'm down for that.
Same.
So, yeah, we're excited. We've, we've got a pretty warm welcome in the marketplace and you know, we seem to be gaining some traction, a lot of handles, and we're just we were in strictly Metro Detroit distribution until about a couple months ago, and we expanded to mid-Michigan, and we are opening up in Ann Arbor and parts west this week. So
excellent.
We picked up a distributor and launched a couple weeks ago. So I think we're having a launch party at Ashley's around the 27th of June.
You should have asked. You could have had it at Arbor Brewing Company.
Well, I didn't. I'm not in charge
of that.
It's
not like you don't know anybody.
I'm not in charge of that right now. You know?
I thought you were.
Well, I kind of, it depends on the day. I'm actually letting, I have a wholesaler there that's actually like, you know, strategizing. So
wholesalers do that?
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's very new in the relationship. So, you know, it's remember like when you used to go on those away weekends and
days.
You went down in the lobby to do your business in the morning instead of the room? I feel like we're at that stage with wholesalers.
Still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, early in the relationship. But yeah, we are actually final site planning meeting is next week with the city of Ferndale. And we've demoed the space and we're psyched. It's affectionately going to be called Livernoy Tap and Brewery. And we'll have a small production system there and an outdoor beer garden and a nice sized tap room.
That's going to be life-ruining for me, by the way. I'm pretty sure.
You and apparently a lot of other people live in that Dale's neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like right there. So just walk over and be like, yep.
Hey, Dan, you come into the show? I don't think I can walk there. Just take an Uber. I don't think I can Uber there either.
Maybe you guys could do a live remote. I mean, it is like a couple miles away.
That's an off-air conversation right there.
Pain in the ass to do those. So, what got you into beer? What made you want to invest into Axel?
Well, you know what? It is a bit of a happy accident. I was around a lot of beer, obviously, like all of you when I was in college. But I managed a small import bar in Kalamazoo, late 80s, early 90s, kind of in the infancy of craft.
Wait, I thought you graduated in the 90s.
That's a big fat lie.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was a student at Western Michigan, and I managed the Pilsen Club. Yeah, nice.
The Pilsen Club,
the precious Pilsen Club. And we spent a lot of time serving imported beers to K College professors and
and so to Matt and Renee when they were dating.
Yeah, there you go.
In the 80s.
And Peppert Stolich Naya shots. But I took a very different path. I worked in the wine industry for a bit and then spent the last 25 years in the media business, mostly here based in Detroit and traveling between New York and L.A. And I worked for National Geographic and for Time Inc. Publishing for most of that time. And I left Time Inc. in 2014 and was mainly working here as a consultant for a lot of public media. I actually helped produce a few podcasts and doing a lot of consulting in the nonprofit sector. And so one of my partners approached me and said, hey, we bought the assets of a brewery. Can you help us? We want to figure out what we're going to do. If we're going to, you know, keep it around, we're going to change the name. What are we going to do? And so what started as a consulting assignment became a little more comprehensive, as you can imagine.
And did they say your experience in the nonprofit sector would come in very handy in the microbrewery?
Yeah, not so much. not so much. It was,
we like to say we're very involved in the nonprofit sector.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. It's a lot of giving back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's say, maybe the proper term, not for profit.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a helpful experience. Yeah. So I have not grown up, you know, I'm not an OG of the Michigan beer industry like Matt and Renee here. You know, obviously I've been around and I've been a big fan of theirs and a lot of other people who came on early and, you know, got to ride around in the golf cart a couple times at Bell's in the late 80s drinking rancid cherry stout.
Love cherry stout.
And, well, this was early cherry stuff.
Early
cherry. Matt always gives me a wince because I reminisce about being at his like opening week or something at the Ann Arbor Art Fair.
I've tried to block that from my memory.
So obviously, inquiring minds would like to know what happened that week.
Oh, that no, day. it was great. I was like, this is unbelievable. A guy went to Catholic Central, just opened a brewery in downtown Ann Arbor. I just think it took a lot of balls to open much artwork.
Yeah, we were so ill-prepared and bad at what we were doing at the time that during that art fair week that Dan's talking about, I was working in the kitchen and I came out to a table to actually tell them that the food they'd been waiting for over an hour was never just – it's not coming out. You're not going to get your food. And they had a basket of
– like you should probably order a pizza right now.
Yeah.
Your food
just get carried. Yeah, call for carry out. And they had a basket of pretzels, like big German pretzels in front of them. And the guy actually picked up a pretzel and threw it at me and it hit me in the chest. And he said, you should be ashamed of yourself. So that's why every time Dan talks about being at the brew pub during art fair in 1995.
We always want to apologize. Like, yeah. I know whatever happened was not good.
Yeah. To everybody listening who came in.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. What we got going on? Hey, wait a minute.
We got some fight music going on.
Yeah, exactly. So to everybody who was there in 1995, screw you, man. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with you. We got some fight music on. You think it was bad for you? It was worse for me. Let's go.
Anything can happen live. You're right. Better on
that. That's what happens when I press enter, apparently. What? I'm just going to turn this keyboard off. Who needs another beer? I need another beer.
I was waiting for where's the fight going to be? I was like, come on.
I just want to say that I'm really embarrassed and I was really hungry that day and I didn't mean to say you should be ashamed of yourself. I just think the effort you put into it was worthwhile. And, you know, I was a closed-minded guy.
So it's so nice 21 years later to be able to heal these wounds and close this chapter of my life.
I mean, who would have known that, like, 5 years later, you didn't even need to have food and have a tap room? We could have had a bag of pretzels and Jimmy John and got through our thing. That's fine. Maybe some jerky is all good.
So, other than obviously Axel beer, what is it that you typically like to drink? You know, your some of your favorite beers or beer styles.
You know what? I'm. You know, I will get this out of the way. I love Michigan beer. Michigan beer's the best. I love it.
Michigan but, only. Michigan forever.
No. Michigan only. Come on, Michigan forever really? Until not so. No, I'm a fairly unabashed fan of Southern California IPAs and Northern California IPAs.
California IPAs.
Yeah, probably
West Coast California.
A lot
IPAs.
Of West Coast IPAs. I grew up kind of drinking a lot of imports, a lot of stouts.
All right, I'm going to call you on this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Renee's
here. We go. Turn the fight music
so
down.
I want to hear one California IPA that's better than. Thank you.
I had that part queued up. I'm sorry.
That's better than Michigan IPAs.
Well, and I think, honestly, it's a matter of style. So I love Two Hearted Ale. I think it's a great beer. I
love Two Hearted.
Wonderful beer.
Good, definitely. Solid choice.
But I absolutely love some of the stuff that Ballast Point does. I love the stuff that Modern Times does. I love some of the Racer 5 from Bear River.
So
I love
what do you think is characteristic?
I like Bear River.
So what I like, and actually one of the things when we when Scott and I started talking about what we wanted in IPA was essentially we didn't want to put another IPA into the market that was going to fall short of the benchmarks here, which would be probably Centennial and Two Hearted. And so we wanted
and Buzzsaw.
Absolutely. I like your Sacred Cow is always my go-to beer.
Thank you.
And yours,
so. All right, Renee's a Buzzsaw girl. I'm a Sacred Cow guy.
I'm a Sacred Cow guy. You know, when you guys first got into Whole Foods, I was like, oh, this is great. Doesn't take a drive. It doesn't have me making up an excuse when I'm at my in-laws. I have to go to for a meeting at
our
company for Growler. So stylistically, when we started, you know, kind of putting our heads together, like, what do we want an IPA that we do to taste like? Is we didn't want to replicate what was being done here really well. And what we were looking for was something that was lighter in body, lighter in feel, a little lighter in mouthfeel, but not a session beer. I take great offense to the 4.8 IPA.
I agree with you.
I feel like it's diet.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like non-fat yogurt or non-fat cottage cheese.
Now,
it's
see, like, I don't understand what you're saying because in our eyes, every beer is a session beer.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. Believe me.
The 17.1%.
Yeah, you just have to put your heart to it.
Right, exactly.
You guys aren't here on week one. You have no idea.
Stay committed.
If you have the confidence and the courage, every beer is a session beer.
Yeah. That's, you know what? That
every beer.
Oh, that someone should write that on the
goose
wall.
Pimples right there. Goose pimples. I'm inspired to go home. Yeah.
Well, I was going
to
say, we're going to see that. Arbor Brewing Company's next barrel aged porter that's like an 18.4 and it's going to have the slogan every beer is a session.
Yeah, I've got two 22 ounce bombers of Evil Twins Molotov Cocktail Heavy, the Imperial IPA at 17.2. I'll just crack both of those open and mow the lawn.
Double fist.
And my neighbor's lawn.
You could play like Edward Wow.
And my other neighbor's lawn, wherever that lawnmower is going.
Wherever that lawnmower is going.
I would mow down a couple pedestrians. Yeah.
Not the lawn. Hey, man, your defense is it's self-propelled. Yeah, I had nothing to do with that.
Hey. No, so we kind of wanted to build something that was, you know, nice aroma, nice balance. And so our IPA is about 6.2%. It's a 58 IBUs, and that's kind of when I think of the Southern California beers that I like. I like less caramel malt, more of Pilsner malt.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's kind of just what, you know, what I first loved about craft. I mean, actually, Anchor probably was the first beer
ours
that started
too.
To
absolutely
change my
Anchor Liberty.
Anchor Liberty, yep. And Anchor straight up Anchor. And I gotta say, I'm still a fool for Sierra Nevada.
Could not agree more.
Straight up, love it. It's old school, but it's not really that old school. You sometimes taste a fresh Sierra up against a lot of what everybody's putting out, and you're like, wow, this is an amazing beer.
You have a good radio voice. I'm smitten.
Thank you. I began my career in media by doing voiceovers, Matt.
I was gonna say, were you ever in voice acting at all?
I used to read commercials for Pillow Talk.
Oh boy.
Detroit.
Nice.
Alan Ullman in the house. Again, we did not graduate in the mid 80s. Not at all. Some of the other beers, I like porters a lot. You know, it wasn't a beer that I went out and sought out a lot, but I enjoy porters and whatever fits the mood. I'm the same way with wine. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up kind of more on the wine side as a wine buyer, and I don't really buy into a lot of rules. You know, there's things that are funky, and when the mood's, you know, I love hard ciders. I love what's going on.
All right.
I love what's going on in the cider space in this state and around the country. I think it's pretty cool. Do you guys got a cider thing coming out or something? You're both looking at each other kind of funky.
No. We're looking at each other like, what the hell do you want to drink next?
You have this like look like, does he know about the cider thing?
Well, I mean, now, earlier we were talking with Matt, and he was talking about how, you know, dealing with the government and trying to figure out all the laws and trying to get everything. So obviously trying to get some type of cidery license there. I don't think he wants to even talk. Cidery. To
is that a word?
Cidery?
Cidery, yes.
Cidery.
That's a word.
It is a word, and don't believe it was in the context he said it in. But.
Acceptable.
I'll allow it. I run this game show.
Allowed. You're like, allowed.
I mean, if it shows up in a spelling bee, I mean,
that is a beauty.
I'm going to say, yeah, with the amount of Freudian slips that I've had, you know, was it Kraft Bars?
Kraft Bars. Kraft Bars.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's so many craft bars.
That's,
on
I was gonna say that. Looks...
That's a heck of a lot better than when you're hosting trivia and you have a category on flags.
Flags.
Fun, with, fun with flags.
Rittler old bear. Is that like is mightier?
The pen is mightier.
Oh jeez.
That's like the atypical, like one of the very atypical trivia team names. The pen is mightier.
Oh,
Chuck and Trebek.
Yeah. Oh jeez.
It's pronounced karate.
It's pronounced karate.
Matt, I just want to, and Renee, I want to ask if you guys could bring a framboise over to Livernois.
No, it's pronounced like Livernois.
When we, yeah, I was gonna say
it's framboy.
When we know
framboy,
is that near is that near Gradiate?
Yeah,
it is.
It's over by Lasher.
Actually, the full name.
I thought about Scott
Lasher. Oh, don't even get me started on that one.
It's Lasser.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, because then you feel like an ass going Lasser. Right.
We did not grow up in Bloomfield Hills, so we don't say I went to Lasser. Then he stepped on the ball.
Do you live off of Lasser?
Oh my God.
Say, I think we need Pinots here as opposed to
a nice rosé or something.
Matt, you
those
realize
the only wines that I know.
Like
this is the last time we ever get invited together.
Oh yeah, yeah, this is it.
I was say, what are you talking about? Brick Moore does less work for us because we have to talk.
Right. So it sounds like in a minute or
better on draft podcast it's with Arbor Brewing and Axel Brewing.
It's like go.
No one wants to hear us speak.
Man, I think we're gonna make more money from a morning show.
Imagine that, like a podcast in the morning.
Yeah, that's what Better on Draft originally was, and then I was getting hammered on Wednesday mornings.
How'd that work out?
Those 9 downloads were breaking up the rest of your day.
Oh, 9 downloads.
He said in the early days, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Gotta give him a little bit of credit. It was a couple hundred.
Oh, yeah. I was still pulling a few hundred downloads.
We're not
thank
the rest
you.
Of the shows on this now. Give us a little more.
I was going to say, my shots to founders at shorts does not equate to that.
No, it's like, oh, is that wrong?
So I want to. I'm gonna tell a quick story because I went to a brewery most recently, and obviously the three other hosts know exactly what I'm talking about, and we'll talk about the rest of that off air. So I went to this brewery, and I believe the city was Weberville, and I'm off of I-96, and I have two choices. My choice is to either go to Old Nation. And I'm like, you know, I've had Detroit Dwarf, I've had Sanders, so let me go check what this other brewery is. And I swear to God, I was in the Blair Witch Project because I drive up to this random white farm, and it's called Michigan Brewing Works.
Not company.
Not company. Works. Ah. Company is no longer around. Works is, though. So I went in there. And, well, first of all, I called because I'm like, where is this place? And he's like, are you driving a silver car? And I'm like, yes. So I was there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's scary.
Rob's showing the photos.
Wait, was he watching out the window?
Well, I think he might have watched when I made the phone call. But nonetheless, so I showed up, and I wound up drinking with the owner and the owner's friend. Mm-hmm. And the brown ale was not too bad.
Are you gonna name names?
Not gonna name names.
Was there anyone else there?
Who's the owner?
There was nobody else there.
How was the Pliny the middle child?
Pliny the middle child?
I don't know. You got the younger, the elder.
Angry and
the
unappreciated.
Always.
So
Marsha.
But yeah, I
are you
sat
not
on this
tell
deck.
Us who you sat with?
Oh, we'll talk about it in the break, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. because there might be
I'm sure
spot
puddings right now.
So I'm sure you know who owns the place.
Ted
from
Nugent.
The way that I'm talking
about. Oh, no.
There's,
oh,
it's,
no.
It's, I mean, it's ironic that we're talking about this right
shares
now.
The initials with Bob Marley.
Right.
There we go.
Because
Bob Marley's still alive.
Can I say it on air?
You can say it on air. I don't care.
Okay.
So I'm trying
it's
not
really
to put
funny.
You
so
guys
our,
on
No, no, no. So our director of sales has come from – he's worked in many different places. And at the when we were leaving Ypsilanti today to come down here – I said, I honestly, I couldn't remember who we were going to be on with tonight. I couldn't remember it was Axel.
Too.
Yeah. And so I said, do you know, since you were like kind of involved in setting this up, do you know who we're on with tonight? And he looks at me and he goes, Bobby Mason. And I went, oh my God, that's not even funny.
So is that why you sent me the email you had originally sent me earlier today wondering?
No, that was actually totally
oh, okay.
Genuine. I wanted to know who
actually,
we're on
Matt,
with.
We both did the but, same yeah. thing. I sent him an email too. Yeah. I'm like, hey, just so I yeah. know, who are we yeah. sitting there with?
But it was really funny because when he said that, I was like, is he going to talk about his resurrection story? And now here we are talking about BM and White Dark or Michigan BW.
Michigan Brewing Works.
MBW. Yeah. So I guess we talk about that off air.
Yeah, well,
I'm
well,
dying to know how it went.
Oh, okay. Well, can we talk about it? We'll talk about it because you know I had a brown ale there, and you know who else has like a really good brown ale?
Who?
North Center Brewing.
No. Oh.
Right over in Northville, Michigan. Now, first of all, I am so mad because I went there after this brewery trip, and they apparently had a coconut brown at the Winter Festival.
What?
That was supposed to be, like, on point delicious, and I'm so upset. They had their brown there, which was fine, which is what I drank, but that they had a coconut brown. So now there's the maple brown that we all loved when they brought it here and the coconut brown. So I have to get on Bob to get said coconut brown and maple brown on this show.
Do we have to talk to Bob and, like, what's he doing?
Got to do a shake-up?
Shake-up, and a blueberry stout.
But you can go play Sporkle there on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you can. You can
at 7:30
and 8:30. You can play Sporkle Live every Wednesday with Moosh.
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 What is Sporkle?
What is, yeah. What's
we'll talk about that after this quick break. We'll be right back.
Moosh.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Better on Draft podcast, episode number 32. The final one here at Podcast Detroit Studios in Ferndale, Michigan.
We are not going away. Calm down. It's okay.
It's like the last game at Tiger Stadium.
Yep.
The last game at Tiger Stadium.
Except I missed Tiger Stadium.
We're going to be the first one at that other one, too.
Is that? Oh, no, that's they're Comerica, not the Pizza Stadium.
Yeah, not the Pizza Arena.
Not the
Pizza
season.
Pizza Arena.
Yeah. Hockey.
The deep dish. The deep slice.
You know, actually, that'd be a pretty good nickname, the deep dish, for the fact that it is
the
underground.
Deep dish. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The deep dish.
I heard somebody call it the oven, and I thought the oven was a pretty good
bad.
Yeah. A pretty
what do they call the one in San Jose? The Shark Tank?
The Shark Tank, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Too long.
Well, because they're the shark.
The octopus tank?
Yeah. They're the
it
sharks.
Fits.
The red wing shoe
Who's
tank?
The puss.
we'll call it the shoebox. Red wing shoes?
Red wing shoes?
All right.
The logo's sort of similar.
So,
it's missing the wheel.
You know, there's a lot of history we have here between, you know, Axel and the previous companies before Axel and Arbor. But tell us a little bit more about, you know, pre-Axel. You know, you got King Mill Street, milking it.
Yeah.
Is there any other names that I'm missing?
No. Our brewer, our head brewer, we've got two brewers on staff, Scott King and Jeff O'Grady. Scott King's our head brewer, and he's got a lot of history in the Michigan brewing industry. He started King Brewing Company and was a brewer at MIP. This has been a different challenge. He's 100% brewing and not having to handle all the business side and marketing side and, you know, development and finance. And it's probably not been a totally easy process or transition, but he's really dialed in his craft, and he's delivered some great beers. We're really, really happy with the beers that are coming out of our shop right now. And I think he's really pushing himself and pushing convention. It's really nice to see.
So I just am going to say that Scott and Christy are two of our oldest best friends in the industry. So it's really
They are stalwarts of the Michigan beer industry.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that this opportunity came along for them. And I think what you guys are doing is really amazing, and I'm so happy for all of you. So
thanks. We have
cheers to all of you.
Obviously, a lot of respect for you guys. Yeah. That means a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I wish they were here because getting a couple of beers and Scott and having them on the air.
Maybe we'll have to plan a reunion between Arbor and Axel with Scott coming on. And,
please do.
We'll have a party one
Let's
week.
Let's do it in the morning.
Let's do it in the morning. On a Wednesday morning.
Yeah. Why not a Tuesday?
Dan's going, I don't like where this is at. Hey.
No, maybe we could do like a telethon.
And we just I love it. Yes.
A three-day live podcast.
A three-day live podcast.
That just sounds like a terrible idea.
This is one of my fantasies. I want to do this. I grew up on the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethons. So I just constantly think about, I just want to do something that you just stay awake for 3 days and just smoke cigarettes and look all haggard and sweaty with your hair combed back.
You know, with the
crazy... I just did that last weekend.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's Matt's way of saying he really misses the days when they first got started.
So you mean weekends.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we could pull it off and get all the major lead brewers and owners and stuff all together and... Yeah, we could pull this off. Mushrooms.
And mushrooms. Yeah.
Is that the only way to get through 3 days?
That crowd, maybe, yeah.
I really don't think you could get 1 day with that crowd and still feel good after whatever you do.
No, probably not.
let's just bring it down here and be serious about the people who do go a little crazy for the beer. That's pretty much like any industry, though. You have your hardcore fanboys who are... I go crazy.
I got the
craft boys. Beer Yeezus.
I gotta tell you, I had a moment like a few months ago. I was, it was maybe a Thursday afternoon, and I was driving home, and I stopped by 8 Degrees Play-Doh, and there must have been 15 guys in the Ferndale parking lot. And I walked in, and Tim, the owner, was there, and I'm like, Tim, well, what's going on? He's like, oh, Bourbon County shut out a lottery. You know, it was some lottery some lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got home that night, and... And I still manage most of our social feeds, and you know, we have a bit of a satirical bite, you know, to what we do. And I put out there that we are, you know, basically like, you know, damn the bourbon barrels. We're, you know, thrilled to be launching our quadruple stout porter aged in white lightning apparatus for fall release. And you know, I think Matt liked it.
Did the phone lines light up? Yeah, exactly.
And then I had this info@axelbrewing.com email address. I literally had like 14 different people asking information about the release. And I was
ready to line up.
Yeah, I was like, this is absurd.
You know, the way you mentioned that is pretty funny because I don't know if you saw Cigar City's April 1st April 1st post, but they were talking about their Huna or whatever their major, and it was like 12% is aged in this barrel and 14% is aged in this barrel, and like the most complicated, ridiculous way to make a beer, and people believed it for a decent amount of time. And I'm looking at the date, and I'm like,
they wanted to know where to go and where to line up. How much of each one?
Is it going to be at Huna Day or whatever next year? Is it going? I'm like, just stop.
Well, I'm not like a German purity law guy or anything, but there you have to admit.
Any
you can't
sentence
blame
that
people.
Starts like that makes me think that you are.
No, I'm not. But you gotta admit there's a certain amount of madness.
Well,
out
then
there.
what's your opinion on the fact that a lot of German craft brewers want to get away from the purity law?
Well, no, I actually think what's fascinating is watching kind of, you know, I mean,
they're
Stone,
dissidents and they should be punished.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
He's clearly German.
Heitschgebut.
No, I think
he
like,
just needs a refill.
I think Stone opening in the middle of Berlin is awesome. It's ballsy. I was in London a couple of years ago and at a beer bar, and these guys were talking about, you know, buying Cascade and Citra hops from the U.S. market, and it was and they were so excited. And I think it's just like anything else. It's like you know you want to go to Ireland, and we all want to have like this authentic pub experience, like out of a storybook. Well, young Irishmen may, you know, be looking for different music and different beers and a hoppy IPA, and I think it's changing and it's developing. But I do think there is definitely room for satire in the American beer industry.
Absolutely. Well, it's amazing because when again we get back to how old we are, but when I lived in Germany in the 80s, I was mocked by the German family I lived with on foreign study because our beer was called Chemie beer, which means chemical beer. And there were no good beers in America. And they just mocked us and mocked us and mocked us. And now they're sending their brewers over to America to learn how we're doing this. And I just find that really awesome and fascinating. And we were just in Belgium last spring, so a year ago. And in the hop-growing region of Belgium, they were pulling out like traditional Belgian hop vines and replacing them with Citra and Simcoe and Centennial. And that to me was really freaky because I'm like, wow, they are like if anybody is like going to just hold on to their history with their cold, dead fingers, it would be Europeans and their brewing history. And the fact that they are willing to change
the,
like that.
The American brew scene is completely
changing other countries.
Changing, the entire global brewing market.
Well, you look at, you know, the whole, I guess you could say even, you know, European versus American, but for a while, the whole Canadian versus American, you know, beer scene in regards to Canadian beer, quote unquote, being better. But really, it was just more alcohol.
Right.
You
know,
there was nothing better about that.
That's back in the day.
What about Carlsberg Gold at the Canada Tavern?
Carlsberg Gold.
Hey, man.
You were there.
Yeah.
Again, we weren't. Out, man.
Yeah.
Do we know what happened there? Do you remember what happened there?
We don't like to talk about
that. It was a cream ale, man. It's a forgotten style. It was a cream ale.
Oh, we can get some Genesee.
They had a beer engine just for it. No.
No, I do think you guys, there's a certain amount of, I think, respect that, you know, it's amazing to see. It's cool. And if you think about what the Germans and Europeans have done with yeast and malt, and if you think about that married with some of the innovation on the American side, it is the golden age of beer. It's amazing.
Started by Americans.
Started by you.
America. Totally started by America.
No, started by that's, America. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Like that's probably a good segue. That Arbor and Axel are collaborating on a beer this summer called Merca.
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 Brewed under the watchful eye of 1776 bald eagles.
Without the taste of betrayal. Did you guys hear the Donald Trump comment that last night? Someone said, do you think Budweiser was inspired by your Make America Great Again campaign? He said, yes, I think they were.
Oh,
I think they got ahead of it.
He really said that.
Yeah,
good for him.
On Fox and Friends.
At least he's
which I was not watching, by the way. I just had it on a tweet.
Oh, he was tweeting at like 2 in the morning.
I was so bummed that Saga talked.
It surprised me.
Here's the thing that made me sad.
He is unflinchingly proud of himself.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he's sticking to his guns and he's like, anything they say, he's like, yes, that's because of me.
I was so sad, though, because Saugatuck Brewery, give them props. They took the time to mock up a six-pack. I jokingly told our art director, I'm like, we should make America bottle. And he's like, for what? And I said, I don't know, just for some social media thing. Literally, Merca comes out, Saugatuck geniuses.
Do you know who owns Saugatuck?
I don't.
Donald Trump.
Oh.
You know, true story.
Yeah.
Look it up.
I will.
Time Magazine or Time.com actually does have an article about Trump.
Owning Saugatuck Brewing Company?
Does he really?
What?
No, he doesn't.
That'd be weird, though.
I'm like, what?
I'm actually going to be bringing some Saugatuck back on next Friday for our new new gig show because I'll be in Saugatuck randomly.
Ask for Merca.
I'll ask for Merca when I get there. And then we get really upset and throw a giant pretzel at them and tell them they should be ashamed of themselves.
And then grill them and say, who owns you? Who really owns you?
So, one thing that I do want to ask, because tomorrow we're going to Ashley's Cask Ale Festival.
Nice.
And there is a brew there from someone here. Arbor Brewing's going to be
who
having
could that be?
Their Tree Beard Strong Pale Ale is going to be cask or cask conditioned, I guess it would be the proper term. So, what should we expect for that specific beer when we taste it in comparison to just a standard?
So, what's kind of funny about the Tree Beard Pale Ale was a beer we did for Arbor Day this year. And it wasn't until we hired a director of sales about 4 months ago. We've been in business for 21 years, and we laughed that we're not the best business owners ever. And he went, you know, there's an actual holiday called Arbor Day. why do you guys not do anything for Arbor Day? He goes,
too obvious.
You have a tailor-made holiday for your brand. And so this is why we hire people who are smarter than we are. And so we actually were like, brilliant, Arbor Day, yes. We're Arbor Brewing Company. Let's do Arbor Beer. So we did this tree beard beer. It's a really nice, dank, resiny IPA that we did this year for the first time. We're going to do it again next year, make it more dank, more resiny. But the cask version that we did for Ashley's is also dry hopped in the cask. You're not going to be disappointed. It's a really –
How long ago did you give it to him, just out of curiosity?
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it went into cask a month ago. So it's definitely not – It's aged in the cask.
Assuming Ashley's in 9 years, they should have good Cellarmans, so I hope.
Matt, is that the one that I had tree-beard at the pub, and it was – would that have been a cask or was that –
No, that would have been on just straight keg.
That was delicious.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Danky and piney.
Very danky, very piney, resiny.
Reminded me of the – never mind. Scraping out the bottom of my bowl. Cereal bowl.
There's that. Yeah.
Cereal bowl.
In a very good way.
Yeah.
I was going to say, by the looks of it, we got some trouble, I guess, ahead of us because there's going to be 24 beers we got to try, and I think we could pull that off in five hours.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Maybe one of us starts at like the top and the other starts at the bottom, and we kind of like meet in the middle and then try to lap each other or something.
I have to remind you about, you know, the whole thing I said earlier about, you know, session beers and courage and
conviction. Oh, wait. Can you tell me the line again? Seriously.
Professional laboratory.
Pretty much. Like I said, with
every beer is a session beer.
If you have the courage and the confidence, every beer is a session beer.
The courage and the confidence. Write that down.
And pretty much after you drink all of them,
hey, Rob,
you will have the courage and the confidence.
That's going
to
be
whatever the hell you want to do.
That's going to be my morning affirmation from now on.
I have
the courage and the confidence.
Is that like the old SNL where like,
yep,
I'm courageous, I'm confident, and God damn it, people love me.
I have a question. I have a question about your velvet hammer. Is this?
She's sitting right next to me, so you might want to direct your question directly to the velvet hammer the velvet hammer.
I'm drinking it, and it's amazing. But is it named with a bit of homage for James Baker? The former chief of staff who was called the Velvet Hammer in the Reagan administration?
That's really discouraging.
I was thinking Velvet.
No, it's a compliment. The Velvet Hammer means like, you know, it means like someone who's like assertive with a soft touch.
Yeah, so we had a regular at the bar who gave Renee that nickname because he was extremely fond of Renee and also saw Renee dropping the hammer when she had to.
Ooh.
And so that became the nickname.
Renee, that is like a supreme compliment. That's like, I've always wanted to be called that, but they just call me like...
To be called the Velvet Hammer.
They call me the sandpaper hammer.
Yeah, so the really depressing thing is my nickname among our staff is OMG. It stands for Old Man Gruff. It's not, not what we all would hope it would be. It's Old Man Gruff. Renee's nickname is The Hammer. They just go, so what do you think, Hammer? I'm like, why do you have like the fucking super cool nickname? And I'm Old Man Gruff, and they're like, what do you think, Old Man Gruff? What do you think, Hammer? And I'm like,
she's like the superhero, and you're Alfred.
Dude, you need to. You need to
It's not that bad.
You need to put a little tagline on the beer that says Renee, please don't hurt him.
So, true story, when Renee is going out to have the talk with the staff or to let somebody go, people oftentimes go, Renee, please don't hurt him.
Oh, ham will say ha ha. Ham will say ham. Ham will say hey.
Ham.
Yeah. So yeah, Renee is the Velvet Hammer.
Oh, that's awesome.
And maybe it is the James. Maybe that's where this guy stole it from.
It doesn't matter.
But Renee, it's a face made for radio. But James Baker's face is also made for radio. So I would say Renee is a better Velvet Hammer model than James Baker could be. I don't want to picture James Baker in a leather corset. Let's just put it that way.
Wow. Oh, boy. And now see, I'm picturing your wife in a leather corset. Very nice.
Well,
I'm picturing James Baker.
Have you
Baker
not been to Velvet Hammer
corset.
Day? Yeah. Velvet Hammer Day is all about Renee in a leather corset.
That's true.
I have not been to Velvet Hammer Day.
Oh, so you now you're going to come, aren't you?
Absolutely.
We could do a live remote there.
Wait, I thought you guys didn't like our live remotes. They were too hard.
We don't like it. We don't
it's
like
not that
it.
We don't it's like not, them. Yeah. We just don't.
If you guys want to do that, we can make that happen. Because it is
you guys got enough room over there.
Amazing. Yeah.
It is spectacular.
We can have a lot of fun in the game room over there and have a lot of people walking to and from both bars to watch us and look at us and be like, what the fuck are they talking about? So I want, as brewers, before we close up, as brewers, I want to get your opinion on, you know, the big news right now, Budweiser changing their name to America in the summer. What is your guys' opinion in it? Is it just, you
know?
Does
everybody know that they're not an American company?
Now, hold on. They are headquartered in Brazil and Belgium, and Brazil is in South America.
And so, technically
it is America.
That is still America.
No.
America's America.
So, wait. It's country. Not. So, let me back up.
She just laid the hammer down just now.
She's like, no.
Softly.
No.
Softly. She just laid
down. I want to walk back.
The velvet
and go,
hammer.
I want to walk softly. Back and go, so what exactly is your question?
He hasn't gotten there yet.
I don't like where this is going.
I am headquartered in the Cayman Islands, just to be clear.
That's
Cayman
a good call.
So are a lot of American companies.
Smart. Yeah.
At least that's where their bank accounts are.
I would say Mitt Romney must love it.
So with our brewery in India, should we just be called America? Our brewing company, America?
To be honest, and I'll give you my full honest opinion, and we talk about this, you know, before the show.
Can you call it Feather Not Dot? If it's like...
Yes! You just struck... Yes. So I want to do two beers over there. One is Feathers... What, Dots Not Feathers. The other is Injun Joe.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That is wow.
He just don't really 11. Want to go there, but I'll go to India for that. That's like
seriously.
So wait, Ken, are you asking just like what the perspective on
what,
it is?
What is your perspective? Because me as a consumer, I think it's hysterical. I think they are getting way more marketing than they paid for, right. Way more advertising than they paid right. for.
We're all talking
I,
about it.
I think it is probably one of the best decisions that they've ever made in regards to marketing. But as someone who is in the business, someone who lives, breathes, bleeds, hammers the business.
Velvetly.
Velvetly.
Can they actually use that name?
America?
Yeah.
I
think it's taken.
No, it's public domain. It's probably, yeah,
yeah. I think somebody's been using that for the last 230 years.
So I would answer this, honestly, in the interest of full disclosure. I'm not a brewer. Like, I've never even homebrewed. I'm a suit. And I'm a marketer by trade.
Yeah, you look like it.
Yeah. I've kind of slipped out of that mode. You know, and I would say this. The reality is it's not planned. I mean, it wasn't like something that was planned to go viral and earn a bunch of earned media. It's a fairly earnest attempt by a company that is desperately trying to retain a certain amount of market share. They see a polarization in the market. It seems like an Onion article when you read it.
It
seems like a complete farce, but I'm not giving them that much credit. The reality is we are all talking about it, but there are certain people, you know, the same people who responded to their ads mocking craft brewing drinkers as nerds and dorks, those people who want to feel like there's these like four Americas or two Americas and one drinks fancy beers and one doesn't, that all appeal to them. And so from a certain marketing standpoint, there's an advantage
to it. I have to give them a certain amount of credit because, and this is hard for me to say because I never want to give them any amount of credit, but I just saw the volume wasn't on. I was looking at the closed caption and their own captions in the commercial, and they took so much heat over the like bad mouthing craft brewers and their Super Bowl ads and everything else. And all I saw were these big letters that said, big, not small, will never back down.
Right.
Not the Super Bowl
this
commercial.
Year's Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so they're going to
own
like,
it.
Yes. And I actually gave them a lot of credit for that.
Me
and I'm
too.
Like, do that. That's brilliant. But I don't understand what their end game is because craft beer drinkers are not going to switch over to AB.
No.
And AB drinkers are not going to switch over to craft beer. So those, I feel like they're just wasting millions of dollars on.
I 100% disagree for the full fact that there is still a huge market that does not purchase Anheuser-Busch products. And I'm referring to, obviously, the opposite end, and that's Miller Coors. And you have, you know, you look at Bud Light for every volume-wise, for every three Bud Lights that's sold, one craft beer is sold.
So they're, what you're saying is what I'm agreeing with you on is they are fighting for their market share with Miller.
Exactly.
They're not fighting with us.
No.
They're positioning themselves.
They're positioning. They're using
the anti-craft beer.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect. And that's the thing, though, is everybody's talking about, you know, oh my gosh, Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch is they just purchased Alesia like right before the Super Bowl. That was, you know, not this year, but last year. But I'm like, this is a commercial for Budweiser,
not
Anheuser-Busch, not Bud Light, because Bud Light is an anti-Budweiser brand.
Right.
It is the light version of your brand, just the same as Busch is an anti-Budweiser. Busch Light, anti-Busch. So all of these brands together, you know, you're trying to fight the market share of that still large 90% or so market that you're fighting against Miller Coors, you're fighting against Constellation, which, you know, in the United States, Constellation is obviously, you know, Corona, Modelo, you know, the more Mexican brands that Anheuser-Busch owns outside of the United States. But not inside. And that's how I see it is that they're using the craft community, the craft industry, to basically go after Miller Coors. And that's how I saw it.
All right. So you suck for being smarter than
No. It's not that because I
You just went on for 5 minutes and we're all just going, ugh. I just wanted to hate Anheuser-Busch.
This guy.
I just think they're disingenuous assholes, and then you're going, no, there's some genius behind that. Hold on.
Way to bring a knife to a gunfight.
I'll give you that credit.
Where's the fight music? Can you cue the fight music?
I don't know if I can cue the fight music that quick. It's so hard. Here we go.
Do me like dominant music.
Let the beer battle begin. It's Ken versus Matt.
That's
really good.
One of the big things that, you know, we talk about here is we're kind of, you know, wrapping up. You know, I'll make sure you guys get what you need to get out in regards to promotions for upcoming events or anything that you have going on. But again,
I didn't prepare.
I got nothing. I want to talk more about Bud White now.
You know, I'm all stressed out talking about
you need our marketing guys.
Speaking of, you know, Budweiser, you know where you could buy America?
Where?
Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Don't say hi to Jack, Gus, the whole gang. Beer, wine, liquor, snacks, everything like that. You can get it all over at Zatuna. But with that in mind, you know, Dan, do you have anything you need to promote? Anything upcoming? Any new beers to look out for?
You know what? We'll be around a lot of places in the area. Rib Burnout is happening Saturday at Dino's in Ferndale. You'll see us at the DCFC opener on the 20th, a bunch of events in between. The only beer we're developing right now is a bit of an homage to the recently deceased writer Jim Harrison called The Beast That God Forgot to Invent. It's an imperial barley wine style that really excited about.
Sounds good.
We're really looking forward to getting the green light from the city of Ferndale and get cracking on Livernois Tap. It's a big part of our focus and something as Matt and Renee know better than anybody. There's no better expression of your brand than experience that someone can kind of engage in personally and and in person. So
go A2FC. Strengths in the oak.
I think they're talking something about a soccer team and, you know,
dude,
in Ann Arbor.
Let me tell you something. I will put that Northern Guard up here against any fan.
God. Keep it friendly.
All right. So, Matt, Velvet Hammer, anything that you guys need to promote?
Yeah. So, Velvet Hammer Day. Our anniversary day at Corner Brewery in Ypsilanti. And this is our 10-year anniversary, and we're going to have an amazing Velvet Hammer Day. It's my day. And just saying it's all about me. And the highlight of the Velvet Hammer Day is our vertical tasting. So we're going to taste 7 vintages of the Velvet Hammer Sour Double, which is the only day of the year that you can get this beer. And certainly the only opportunity to taste all seven vintages paired with amazing food. And so, yeah.
And I'm really glad you only have nine listeners because the fact that you guys are drinking Velvet Hammer before Velvet Hammer is released and that you can even get it outside the brewery, I'm going to have my head on a plate tomorrow morning when I go back in.
Oh, they'll hear it on Monday. But yeah. That's going to do it for us here at the Better on Draft podcast. Matt and Renee, we appreciate you coming out. Dan, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Nice. Have a good night.